Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a concept that usually lives up in corporate boardrooms, and we're dropping it right into the middle of a classroom.
Yeah, we're talking about content saturation versus production capacity.
It sounds so jargony.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's actually a really simple and, frankly, a very painful math problem.
Okay.
Whether you're a big marketing firm or, you know, a local school district, there's this infinite demand for engaging content, videos, audio, quizzes.
Right.
But there is a very, very finite amount of human time to actually create it all.
And I can't think of anywhere that math is more brutal than in education. I mean, teachers are expected to be curriculum designers, video editors, audio engineers.
All while managing 30 kids in a room. It's impossible.
Exactly. So, to explore a potential solution, we're looking at the collision of two really interesting technologies today. First up, we've got Kami.
The massive digital classroom platform.
Right. That's the workspace. It's where the students and teachers are actually, you know, living their digital lives. And then there's this other player, the Auto Content API, which it bills itself as a content transformation engine.
And that word engine is so important. We're not talking about some little chatbot helper that, like, writes an email for you.
No.
We're talking industrial grade infrastructure. It's designed from the ground up to automate the creation of podcasts, videos, and assessments, all from raw text.
So the mission for this deep dive feels pretty clear. We want to see what happens when you plug an industrial content engine like Auto Content directly into a digital classroom like Kami.
Yeah. Can we actually solve the teacher's biggest enemy?
Yeah.
The clock.
Are we just adding another layer of tech complexity that, frankly, nobody asked for?
It's a valid fear. But if this works, it's a huge shift. We go from manual creation to automated transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And that could change the job description of an educator in a really profound way.
Okay, let's start by grounding everyone in the context here. We need to talk about the ecosystem. Yeah. So what exactly is Kami? I know the numbers are just wild, right? 50 million users or something.
It's massive, yeah. At its core, Kami is a digital workspace. It takes any static resource,
mm-hmm.
you know, a PDF, an image, a text doc, and it turns it into an interactive canvas.
Their slogan is something like, elevate instruction, reach every learner.
Exactly. And a huge focus for them is accessibility, special ed, English language learners, and just streamlining feedback and grading.
I've seen the stats. They claim to save teachers an average of 7.8 hours a week. That's basically a full work day.
It is.
But I have to play devil's advocate here. We hear efficiency stats from ed tech companies all the time. Does that 7.8 hours actually become free time, or does it just get filled with, you know, other administrative junk?
That is the eternal question, isn't it? Parkinson's law.
Right. Work expands to fill the time.
But with Kami, the savings really do seem to come from streamlining the mechanics, grading workflows, mm-hmm. distributing assignments, all the accessibility tools. Just removes the friction of managing paper.
Okay, so the logistics are smoother. I get that. But you said earlier there's still a bottleneck. If they're saving a whole day a week, what's the problem?
The bottleneck is the format. So a teacher has their curriculum. Maybe it's in a PDF or a textbook. Kami lets them annotate that PDF, which is great.
Right.
But what if you want to turn that chapter into, say, a podcast for students to listen to on the bus?
Yeah.
Or an explainer video for a student who's a visual learner?
And you have to make it yourself. You have to sit down, record the audio, edit the video, find stock footage.
And boom, there goes your 7.8 hours of save time. Instantly.
So you have the source material, the curriculum, but converting it into these other formats is still this manual, labor-intensive craft.
That's it. And that is exactly where this API paradigm comes in.
Enter the Auto Content API. I was reading through their technical docs, and they describe themselves as headless content production. Now, headless sounds a little spooky, like a horror movie.
Yeah, it's a tech term. Think of it like a ghost kitchen for content. When you order food on an app, you don't see the dining room or the waiter. You just send an order and the food arrives. Headless just means the creation happens in the background without a human staring at a screen pressing buttons.
So it's infrastructure. It's plumbing.
Precisely. You feed it inputs, URLs, PDFs, raw text, even YouTube videos. And it doesn't just summarize them. It actually restructures them using what they call recipes.
Recipes.
Yeah. So think of the raw text, that dry history textbook chapter, as your flour and eggs.
Okay.
The recipe tells the API, turn this into a two-person dialogue script or turn this into a 60-second video script.
And then it just produces the final product.
It generates broadcast-ready audio and MP3s, videos with avatars and MP4s, and structured text like quizzes.
Yeah.
The key thing here is how they position themselves as the Notebook LM API alternative.
I saw that comparison. Google's Notebook LM has been making waves with those audio overviews, you know, where two AI hosts chat about a document.
It's impressive.
It is, but it feels like a consumer tool. You drag a file in, you wait, you listen.
It's manual, one-to-one. Auto content is programmatic. A school district could write a script that sends 5,000 documents to the API overnight.
And they'd wake up with 5,000 podcasts and videos the next morning.
That's the difference between a tool and an engine.
Wow. Okay, that scale is, it's hard to wrap my head around. So let's bring it down to the ground level. Let's walk through a day in the life of a teacher using Kami supercharged with this API.
Okay.
Let's start with the morning commute, the bus ride.
Perfect place to start. This hits universal accessibility head on. Right now, Kami has what they call understand tools, which includes text-to-speech.
Which is fine, but it's usually that robotic voice reading from top to bottom. It's functional, but it's not exactly engaging.
Right. Auto content offers audio overviews. This is that deep dive style podcast format we were just talking about.
So imagine a student, let's call him Leo. Leo's got a dense PDF about the French Revolution for homework. He opens it in Kami.
And instead of just staring at the screen while the bus is bouncing around,
he hits a button.
And in the background, the Auto Content API instantly generates, say, a 10-minute podcast where two AI hosts discuss the causes of the revolution.
And they're not just reading the text, right?
No, they're synthesizing it. They're making analogies, maybe cracking a joke, debating the finer points of the guillotine.
So it turns a static homework assignment into something bingeable. Leo's listening to a show, not a robot.
And it goes deeper. Let's imagine another student, Mateo. Mateo just moved from Spain. His English is okay, but tackling 18th century political history in a second language? That's a nightmare.
Kami does have translation tools, I know that.
It does. But auto content supports over 50 languages for audio generation. So Mateo doesn't just get a wall of translated text.
He gets that same engaging conversational podcast, but generated in Spanish.
It's Spanish. That's huge, because there is a world of difference between reading a translated text and hearing a concept explained naturally in your native language.
It's not just translating words. It's synthesizing the explanation with natural intonation. It bridges that comprehension gap.
Instantly.
Yeah. There was another feature in the audio section that really, it caught my eye, but I'll admit it also creeped me out a little bit. Voice cloning.
It always does it first. But in a school setting, think about the principal's dilemma.
Which is?
You want to be present. You want the students to know you. But you can't be in every classroom every day, and you don't have time to record a new podcast every morning.
So the principal records a one-minute sample.
Just 1 minute of their voice. That trains the model. Then the API can generate morning announcements, lesson updates, personalized shout-outs, all in that specific person's voice.
So the student opens Kami, and they hear their principal or their teacher giving the update. But the teacher didn't have to spend 40 minutes in a sound booth.
It's high touch without the high time cost. It allows that human connection to scale. That's the promise.
Okay, let's move from the ears to the eyes, video. Because if there's one thing we know about students today, it's that if it isn't moving, they probably aren't looking at it.
The short form imperative. TikTok, Reels, Shorts. The auto content documentation says that by 2025, video is projected to be, what, 82% of all internet traffic?
Wow.
So if education wants to compete for attention, it has to be visual.
But video is so expensive. The docs say a manually produced short video can cost anywhere from $50 to $300.
Yeah.
I don't know many public schools with a $300 budget per assignment.
That's where the math just completely breaks down for manual production. But look at the radical efficiency of the API. Auto content can create these videos for roughly 400 credits.
Which translates to?
About 4 euros.
4 euros. Okay, that changes the entire calculus. At 4 euros, you can afford to have a video for every single chapter, every assignment.
Exactly. And we're talking about the 9.16 vertical videos, the TikTok format, complete with the different AI avatars. They have professional ones, casual ones.
So in the Kami context, Leo opens his document on the French Revolution. Before he even starts reading, there's a 60-second explainer video right there in the sidebar.
Yes. An avatar pops up, summarizes the key concepts. Here are the three things you need to know about Robespierre with automatic subtitles. Perfect lip syncing. It just primes the brain for the deeper learning to come.
There's a feature here I think is even more futuristic, the deep research endpoint. This is where it stops being just a document reader and becomes something else.
This is where it steps outside the walled garden.
Yeah.
Usually, these AI tools only know what's in the document you upload.
Right.
But the Deep Research endpoint allows the API to actually browse the live web.
Okay, give me a scenario. How does a student use this in Kami?
So let's say Leo is reading about inflation in the 1920s. He highlights a paragraph and asks Kami, how does this compare to inflation right now?
A normal PDF reader can't answer that. The PDF was written 10 years ago.
Correct. But the Auto Content API can go onto live sources, sec.gov, news sites, financial reports. It can synthesize the current data and generate an answer.
It could even create a video summary comparing 1920s inflation to 2024 inflation.
Exactly. It turns the platform into a research assistant. It's not just consuming static content. It's generating new contextual knowledge on the fly.
It creates what you call the infinite library.
Yeah, the library isn't just sitting there waiting for you. The library builds itself around the questions you ask.
Okay, so we've listened to the podcast on the bus. We've watched the explainer video. Now comes the part every student hates and, honestly, every teacher dreads greeting. The assessment.
The feedback loop. You have to know if they actually learned anything.
Kami has great greeting tools, I know that. But you still have to write the quiz, and writing good quiz questions is so tedious.
It is. It's the kind of work that makes you want to bang your head on the desk. But this is where the loop closes. Auto Content has a specific quiz generation endpoint.
Okay, walk me through the plumbing on this. How does the quiz get from the textbook to the student?
It's seamless. Step one, teacher uploads that French Revolution chapter to Kami. Step two, Auto Content API scans the text. Step three, it applies a recipe to extract the key facts and generates a 20-question quiz, multiple choice, Q&A, whatever the teacher wants.
And it's not generic questions. It's based specifically on that text.
On that specific text. It outputs it as structured data, JSON, which Kami then just displays as an interactive quiz for the student.
And then Kami's own auto-grading kicks in.
Yes. So look at that chain. Content ingestion, to learning via audio video, to assessment via quiz, to grading.
All automated. The teacher managed the process, but they didn't manually build a single one of those intermediate steps.
That's where that 7.8 hours saved turns into something much, much bigger. It's not just saving time. It's eliminating the drudgery tax of teaching.
Yeah.
But there's one more layer to this. And honestly, I think this is the sleeping giant of this technology. It's not in the classroom. It's in the administration office.
The district-wide implementation. Because schools are massive bureaucracies. They have compliance, HR, new safety policies.
And let's be honest, nobody reads the memos.
I don't read the terms and conditions updates, so I can't blame a busy teacher for skimming a safety protocol PDF.
It's the classic information silo problem. The Auto Content source material actually talks about knowledge transfer. Large organizations struggle to move info from the top to the bottom.
So how does this fix that?
Well, district leaders can use the API to turn those dry policy PDFs into an internal district podcast.
So instead of reading a 10-page update on new fire drill procedures, teachers get a 10-minute audio summary.
Which they can listen to on their drive to work. It meets them where they actually have bandwidth. And the best part, it can be fully automated using tools like Make.com or Zapier.
We mentioned integration earlier. For the non-technical listener, what does a Make.com integration actually look like?
Think of it like digital plumbing. The district IT director sets up a pipe. One end of the pipe is a Google Drive folder called New Policies.
Okay.
The other end is the Kami distribution list for all the teachers.
So the superintendent drops a new PDF into that folder.
And the automation just triggers. The API grabs the PDF, digests it, generates the podcast, maybe even a quick quiz to prove everyone listened, and sends it out. No human has to touch it in between.
It effectively creates a private media network for the school district. That's a level of sophistication you usually only see in Silicon Valley, not public schools.
And it speaks to that knowledge transfer point. Audio is just a more efficient, frictionless way to get information into people's brains. If you really want your staff to know something, don't ask them to read. Ask them to listen.
So we've covered classroom audio, video explainers, automated quizzes, and the administrative podcasts. It really does feel like Kami provides the digital workspace and Auto Content provides that industrial engine to fill it.
That's the perfect way to frame it. Kami is the vehicle. Auto Content is the fuel. And because of the cost, remember that four-year-old price point. This isn't just for elite private schools. This is scalable technology for everyone.
But I want to push back on one thing before we wrap up. We're painting a pretty rosy picture. If I'm a teacher listening to this, I might be thinking, great, so the robot teaches the lesson, the robot makes the video, and the robot grades the quiz. What am I for?
It's the fear of replacement. It's very real.
Is it valid? Are we automating the teacher right out of the room?
I don't see it that way. I see it as a fundamental shift in the role. Think about the difference between a creator and a curator.
Unpack that.
For so long, we've expected teachers to be creators, make the worksheet, make the lesson plan, make the test. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
In a world where the machine can generate all the materials instantly, the teacher's role shifts to becoming a curator of experiences.
So they choose the path, but they don't have to pave the road themselves.
Exactly. They decide what Leo needs to learn about the French Revolution. They decide that Mateo needs the Spanish support. They orchestrate the learning journey.
And crucially, they provide the human connection.
That is the one thing the API cannot generate. It cannot look a student in the eye and say, I believe in you. It can't notice that a student's having a bad day.
So, ironically, by automating the teaching part, the actual delivery of content, we might be making the job more human.
That's the hope. If the machine does the heavy lifting of information transfer, the human is freed up to do the inspiring. That, I think, is the real value proposition here. It's not just about efficiency. It's about making room for humanity.
That's a fascinating place to leave it. The tech doesn't replace the teacher. It liberates them. Thank you for listening to this deep dive into the future of the automated classroom. We'll catch you on the next one.